My name is Irene Robinson, and I'm the library director for the Bath County Memorial Library in Owingsville. I have worked here at the library for 12 years. I've lived in Bath County almost all my life. I have two children, two girls, both grown. One daughter lives in Louisville, and one daughter lives in Round County. I was actually born in Menifee County. We were a family of eight. I have seven brothers and sisters, and it was a large family, and we always lived in the rural areas in the county. As I said, I was raised most of my life in Bath County. My father ran a sawmill, and my brother's log, so we moved quite a bit. My dad would go into a boundary of timber and cut it and saw it out, and when that was finished, we would move on. Sometimes we were lucky enough to be able to stay in one place a long time if it was a large boundary of timber. So, and that's pretty much happened when we came into Bath County. I started my schooling in Round County, but for the most part of it, we were able to stay in Bath County, so it's a lot easier to not have to change schools. As I said, I have seven brothers and sisters. I have a brother on either side of me, so I thought I should have been a boy, too. I really didn't like being a girl when I was little, because I liked being a tomboy. Got to go out and play and climb trees and scour over the hills rather than do housework, which was not one of my favorite things to do. At one point in my early childhood, we moved to Indiana, which I hated with a passion. Not the people, but I felt like I was out of my element. It was very flat. It was in the northern part of Indiana. Very flat, and all you saw were cornfields, and I didn't have any hills or trees to climb. And the people said I had a strange accent. We lived there for about a year and a half, I guess, and went to school part of the third and fourth grade in Indiana. And the strangest thing, when we moved back to Kentucky, people said I had an accent again. So we kind of felt out of place. I enjoy travel, but I never wanted to change schools that often and that much. You don't get to make a lot of permanent friends. So I was really happy when we moved back to Bath County and was able to stay throughout the rest of my schooling. We came back in the fourth grade, and I finished in Bath County. So that was kind of nice. My parents later moved to Round County, where my mother still lives today. My father has since passed away. He lived to be 84, so he had a long life. And most of my father's family are very long-lived, so I suppose I can look forward to a long life as well. As I said earlier, my father was very long-lived, as well as all of his family. He moved to from Morgan County, and then before that he moved from Pike County, which a lot of Kentuckians have come sort of that route from Virginia and that time. Talked with a lady recently. She was doing some genealogy, and we kind of merged our families together. She had a great grandmother that was married to my great great grandfather, so I was able to connect our family then all the way back to the 1600s. And we had came from Ireland, so of course, with a name like Donahue, we always assumed that we were Irish, but that pretty well confirmed it when we found out we were originally from Ireland. I thought that was interesting.
Could you tell us just a little bit about the genealogy section of the library?
Okay. We have a lot of people that come, especially in the summertime, people that are on vacation will come through and spend a day or days doing research on their families. Bath County was an early county, so there was a lot of early history. Let's see, Bath County was formed in 1811, I believe. So it was one of the earlier counties formed, and there's an awful lot of history here. A lot of our genealogy materials are donated. People that are doing their family histories will then, especially if they really have a good run of luck and find a lot of their information, when they get their histories compiled or to a certain point, then they will donate that back to the library, which is really pretty much how we've built our collection here. A lot of interesting stories come through from the people that are doing the research, and we've met a lot of people from out of state. We've had them as far as Alaska, Texas, a lot from Illinois, an awfully lot from Illinois, which was a surprise in a way to me, because I thought probably we would get a lot from Tennessee. But the main body of people that come through searching are from Illinois. I suppose Kentuckians migrated north instead of south.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about the training that you have to have to become a librarian?
Okay. Requirements that are required by the Kentucky Department of Libraries and Archives have changed a little bit over the years. To become a librarian now in the state of Kentucky, UK is the only ALA accredited program for library science. So to get a master's, UK is the only place that you can go into Kentucky now. You can take your basic requirements at Morehead and then finish the additional 36 hours of library science at UK. However, the Department of Libraries realizes that a lot of the small counties, such as Bath County, are very limited, and they are not going to be able to attract someone with a master's degree into a small county and pay them minimum wage. So they've sort of had to reevaluate their program, and now they allow all the librarians to be certified, which means they have to have a total of 21 hours of library science, a little bit less than what the ALA, American Library Association, requires for a master's. So it has been a little bit easier and a little bit better on small libraries with small budgets to attract someone. Of course, it's always nice if you can attract someone to the job that's local, that you're pretty sure they're going to stay with the program. I feel very fortunate to work here. As I said earlier, I've worked here for 12 years. I started driving the bookmobile, which is a really interesting job, and I really miss that. Basically, what you do is you drive a van load of books around the county and stop at different people's homes. The difference is when you stop at Farmer John's house, and Farmer John has just come out of the barn, he doesn't care a bit to come onto the bookmobile and get books or bring his kids out to the bookmobile. Whereas Farmer John won't come in and take off his work clothes and come into the library for books. So we're able to reach a lot more people with the extended service of the bookmobile by being able to go out into the county. And the people really appreciate the bookmobile because of the convenience that it is. And it was a fun job. In the spring, I was given tomato plants and all kinds of garden plants, and in the fall, all kinds of produce. It's kind of like being the, I guess, the modern day version of the old time tinker where they drove around. And I had a couple of ladies that even insisted on cooking me dinner and would bring out a plate of food when I would stop at their house. So it was a nice break for me, and it was a nice break for them. It was give them something to be able to do. But overall, I really enjoyed the job. And we are contracted with the bookmobile to work one day a week in Menifee County. So I had a wide area that I covered in the two counties, and we still cover. And just met a lot of really nice people out there.
How large is the staff of the library right now?
Right now, I'm the only full-time person that we have. I do have an assistant that works 3 days a week that is mainly, no one actually has titles here. We're just kind of the everybody takes care of everything type place. Brenda Vance, my assistant, is mainly in charge of doing cataloging, which she loves and I don't. So that works out real well. Unfortunately, being so small and small staff, we kind of have to pitch in, and she just sort of fits in the cataloging whenever she gets a chance to, because if we're doing a reference search for a student that's doing a paper or a project, then that has to come first. You have to stop whatever you're doing and try to assist the person. Then I have a... we have several volunteers that we're very happy to have because it sort of frees us up. Someone can watch the desk and check out books, and it frees us up to help other people do the reference work. I have our lady, Jean Johnson, that was the librarian here before she retired and I took her place, still works 1 day a week. Which gives me a day off, thank goodness. And then we have one other lady that works 1 day a week that kind of fills in different areas when we need her. If I have to go to a meeting or something, then she kind of just moves around. So she's sort of our Johnny on the spot. And that's it, except for our volunteers, which I can't say enough about. We have some excellent volunteers that come in. We have a program in Bath County called the RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer Program. I think I have that right. And they donate so many hours a week to a designated place. And we're very fortunate to have Della Rawlings that works with us. And she's just a great lady and just loves what she's doing and loves people, which is 9/10 of this job. You have to like people and have to have a lot of patience sometimes. But overall, it's a very interesting job. I keep saying that we're going to start a book of questions that we're asked every day, because some of the questions are pretty interesting. I have an interesting story to that I usually tell about our reference questions. My assistant Brenda Vance came into work one day, and the first call, in fact, that came through on the phone showed you that we wasn't ready to start the day, I guess. But the question was, they asked her if she had the power of positive thinking, and not thinking real swiftly, she said, well, she thought she did. And the person replied that they meant, did we have the book, The Power of Positive Thinking? So we had both, actually. So I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay. Could you tell me a little bit of the history of the library, how it was started?
Okay, I can try. since we've worked on our library petition drive, or library campaign, or whatever the word you want to call it, we've had to go back and dig for some of the history. Of course, as I said earlier, I've only been here 12 years, so that's a short history for me. But Bath County's had a library for a good little while. Before there was a library, there was bookmobile service. Some people from the state library and a very library-oriented family, the Bingham family from Louisville, probably everybody's heard of, decided in the early 50s that the libraries or the counties needed some type of library program. So they developed an idea to put bookmobiles into these counties that did not at the time have libraries. And Bath County was very fortunate to be one of the first. I believe it was the early 50s, I believe 52, 54, somewhere along in there, that Bath County received a library. And the difference in the bookmobiles, or rather bookmobiles, the difference in the bookmobiles today and then was that the bookmobile mainly did community stops. In that I mean they would go into, for instance, the Salt Lake community and stop at a store on a particular day, and everyone actually came to that place and picked up their books and brought their books back. And here in Owingsville, I understand that they pulled onto the lawn of the courthouse, and everybody in Owingsville then would know that that was her day to be in Owingsville, and they would come and check in and check out books. And that was in the early 50s. The Owingsville Woman's Club, with I believe Phyllis Byron as their the head of that project, decided that we needed a permanent library. So they went about establishing a library tax, which was very difficult to do because, as we found out when we tried to increase our library tax, nobody wants to pay taxes, or especially more tax. Of course, the library has to have some type of local funding to operate. So a library tax was finally established in Bath County in the early 60s, and in 66-67 the building that we now have was purchased from the Farmers Bank and was renovated, and is, and we hope to be the last site of the library. We have plans down the road, quite a ways down the road, to enlarge the library at some time, because we very quickly ran out of space, and fortunately I guess we're still growing, so that's good that we need the space. I guess it shows that we are still growing. When we were doing the an article for the paper, we started looking for some history of the library. And it's a little bit sketchy, and as with most history, everybody had a little bit different memory of where it started. And as best we can understand, there was about four different locations in Owingsville that the library was at one time. At one point, it was in the building where the county jail is now. At one point, it was in the old school building where the new courthouse annex now stands. At one point, it was in the pool room in the pocket behind the courthouse. And then later, it was where the building that was torn down to make way for the new Farmers Bank now. It was in that old building. And then it moved now to this location where we hope to stay. So I guess Bath County's library has always been kind of mobile in more ways than one. We've had several librarians on staff at one point or the other in the history of the county. or of the library. Mrs. Betty Butcher Bailey was one of the first bookmobile drivers. She's the wife of Ralph Bailey. And we have a picture that we found in some of our materials of Miss Bailey driving the, actually a new bookmobile. I think it was in the early 50s, probably one of the first bookmobiles that we had. I also believe that there was Mrs. Lillian Moore was one of the librarians and one of the bookmobile drivers. One of the interesting things that we found out was in the early library, the bookmobile driver, after there was a library established, the bookmobile driver would be on the road part of the week, and then she would come in and operate the library part of the week, which, from having done both, I can tell you would be very difficult to do. There's any number of records that has to be kept for just one operation alone, and to try to work two and then continually keep the stock replenished. And in the early 50s, that was even harder to do. We now have a permanent collection of our books in the library. At that time, it was a rotating collection. And by that I mean the state library would send boxes of books to the county, and the librarian or bookmobile person at that time would have to box up all the books that she had and ship them back, and then put out all the new books that the state library had sent, which was an enormous job because there's all kinds of paperwork that went involved with that. So I'm really kind of thankful that I didn't have a job in that time. It's difficult enough as it is now with all the paperwork we have to do and the constant buying of books, purchasing books, and the cataloging and everything that goes with them. I can't imagine the job that they had at that time, how difficult it was. The next librarian that I'm aware of was Mrs. Peggy Staten, and I think she worked for about the same period of time, about 12 years, as bookmobile driver and librarian. And after Mrs. Staten, it was Mrs. Jean Johnson, and since she's retired then, I'm now the librarian. And that's probably as much information as I know actually about the founding of the library, except I can't emphasize enough the importance that Mrs. Phyllis Byron, the part that she played in it, because as I said earlier, the people were very reluctant to vote a new tax in, so they had, I think, quite a time in several different elections to get the tax voted in, and it was a very difficult process to go through, and I think it was finally established in 62, 64, somewhere along in that, as actually a permanent library tax that was supporting the library.
You keep referring to the recent petition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I should be an expert on that. It's over is the main thing I want to concentrate right now on. What happened was, as I have been able to find out, when the original library tax was voted in the early 60s, it was voted in at a 5 cent per $100 assessment, which was a nice tax base in the, at that time, and a very nice support for the county or for the library. And for whatever reason, there was two different house bills that actually rolled the tax rate back. And the last one basically said that the way the assessments was done was unfair, they felt, they were assessing property at 20% of its actual value. And they felt that was illegal. It needed to be assessed at 100% of its value. So they enacted some legislation, and basically what the legislation did was rolled our tax rate back to first from 5 cents to 3.5, and from 3.5 to what we have been operating on in the last several years to 1.35, which basically meant for every $100 of assessed property, we got a penny and 35 hundredths of another penny. And that was pretty much why we had to start the tax, the petition campaign that we did. We were just barely keeping our head above water. We were struggling along, trying to basically just keep the library open by paying the utility bills, which meant we wasn't growing. We weren't buying any new materials or books, that, which meant as students, you weren't getting current information, and that's terrible for a library to be providing inadequate material or outdated material. So we felt the only thing that we could do was to get our tax increase back, so that, or and the tax increase, so that we could get some money coming back in to have a better library, be able to have the materials that was needed to keep up. So we started our petition campaign, which has been an education in itself. As I said earlier, nobody wants to pay a tax or more tax. And that's what we were asking. We were asking to be reinstated almost at what we had started with. We were asking for a 3.5 cent raise, which would take us to 4.85, 4 cents and 85 hundredths of every $100 of assessed value to operate. And to do that, we had to circulate a petition collecting 51% of the number that voted in the last general election. For us, that meant about 2,200 signatures. And at one point in our campaign, I really felt like it wasn't going to go. We just kept running into a lot of negative comments, and we had worked as well through the Christmas season, and everything was just kind of slowly grinding down. And then suddenly, about the last 3 weeks of the campaign, things started picking up, and everybody seemed to be on our side, so to speak. We did close the library down, and I think that had an impact on people. I think it made them realize what it would be like to be without a library. But we felt like we had to actually get ourselves out into the county and out into the community and basically go door to door asking people to sign the petition. And as it turned out, it was very positive. We were able to tell a lot of people that about our library, and tell the library story and what we could offer and what we had here for people. And I was really surprised that a lot of people were not aware of everything that we could offer them at the library. Most people thought it was just books. And libraries have grown, come a long ways in the last 30 year as to what they basically can offer people. And it was educational for us as being able to find out what the people in the county needed from us as well. So it's been an interesting experience for us, one I hope I don't have to repeat, but it's been very interesting, very, very hard experience, but it was worthwhile. We now have a good base for our library, and we can grow.
Okay, what do you see in the future for the library? What plans do y'all have?
Well, basically, the way we established our rate that we were going to ask on our when we started our petition drive, was to sit down and to work out a budget and to project 10 years down the road. And what we felt like we had to do was, of course, to get our stock built back up to current information, better books. We try to keep a ongoing request list. If we get more than two requests for a particular book or a particular subject, then we go back and we really look at our shelves to see what information we have on the subject, and then we start looking for books in that particular area. So we felt like that was probably going to be number one, is to start, because we've got books on our shelves that are actually 30 years old, and of course they're no good to anyone. They're just shelves that are taking up space, because most of the teachers require current information at least 5 year, no more than 5 year old. So a lot of the books are just no good to anyone. So we felt that was our number one project, number one goal was to get back and get our materials current. And then in that 10-year period, we projected that we would like to go into the building next door and enlarge our library. We would double our space that we have, but we would be able to enlarge some of our collections as well. I'm very strongly for children's collection. I think, in fact, the state library had a program 1 year, or a campaign 1 year, that was called Catch 'em in the Cradle. And basically starting as early as you can with children, teaching them the love of books and the story hours and that type thing. And that's one of my beliefs as well. I think you have to encourage children to read and encourage them to explore the books, and you have to have the materials there for them to explore. So that's another area that I would like to see enlarged. But in particularly, I think we need to enlarge our nonfiction collection. We have a couple of areas that we provide services now. We have a circulating large print collection for some of our friends that have problems with their eyesight, that the books are circulated from the state library on a 3-month basis, that are all in large print, and so that allows us to not have to put a lot of money into a large print collection, so that we can put that money into other areas. And our ongoing project is, of course, keeping up with the new fiction that a lot of our readers are just basically fiction, gothics, mysteries, that type thing. So we, that's pretty well ongoing at all times. We could certainly increase that as our people that use the library increase, then there's going to be more demand for the bestsellers and that type fiction. So we have to keep up with that. But I guess our goal now is to just get our materials back to a current status and try to provide the best service that we can.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.